Hello, everybody, and welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. It is Monday, October 31st, 2011. It is Halloween. It is a Monday on Halloween, which makes it a very, very, very weird day for all of those that are adults. You see, when it's Monday and it's Halloween, that means you spend Friday and Saturday probably dressing up and doing stupid things, or thinking about it, and then maybe kind of recovering Sunday, but there might be football, and so you might be drinking during that. And now it's Monday. It's like, I really shouldn't go out. I got work, blah, 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 blah. But now you're probably going to, so just enjoy it. Embrace it. Tonight at the Hungry Brain, we have Al Scorch, I mean, If Everything is Terrible, two of the absolute best performers in Chicago. Or Thing, I don't know what Everything is Terrible considers themselves. Anyways, I like those guys. So if you're in Chicago, that will be your Halloween plan. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, November 1st, I will be at Sally's doing the open mic there. And we have a music set from Spirit of the City or Spirit of the Red City. Some new band that I'm interested in hearing. And that'll be tomorrow at the Hungry Brain. Go to youmethemeverybody.com for more information. Friday, we have the live show at the Wonderland. We return to the Wonderland Ballroom back in D.C. after a very, very long New York trip. So we'll be back at the Wonderland on Friday. So come to that show. Back to this episode. It is Halloween, so Sean Gray and I, part owner of Fandeth Records, talked about something extremely spooky, which is the 2011 incarnation of the Smashing Pumpkins. We went crazy in-depth about that for no real particular reason. Oh, yeah, he just saw them, so that kind of makes sense. And then to close out the show, because it is Halloween, Daniel Knox performing at You, Me, Them, Everybody Live from September 2010. That's episode 107. The link for that whole episode is in the show description. So without further ado, here is Sean Gray and I talking about one of those bands that probably shouldn't reunite because no band really should, the Smashing Pumpkins. All right, so I'm with Sean, and Sean went to the Smashing Pumpkins concert recently.
I did.
And I've heard many stories about the Smashing Pumpkins show. So, Sean, tell me about the 2011 Smashing Pumpkins current tour of something. Does it have a name? Do you know?
I think it has a name of, like, the reoccurring... Something really abstract but cheesy at the same time. Like, the reoccurrence reckoning. It sounds like a summer blockbuster movie.
So that's a good start.
The 2011 Smashing Pumpkins, it's like it's kind of like stepping into a time warp that not only you're embarrassed to be a part of, but wish never existed.
Then why did you go to the show?
I mean, I had a free ticket, and I was telling you earlier, you always kind of, you want your heroes to do well, even if you make fun of them. You kind of want your heroes to just, you believe that they have it in them. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, you know, really, does the world really need another Smashing Pumpkins album? No, but you kind of hope deep down somewhere that, oh, he's gonna bring something back. I don't know. It's going to be amazing.
So you've been a fan for a long time, since you were a teen.
Yeah.
All right. When was the first time you saw the Pumpkins?
96.
Okay.
So the Melancholy Tour.
Okay.
My parents wouldn't let me go see them during they did a 9:30 club show for that tour in 95.
Uh-huh.
When Melancholy came out. And by the time I got into them, they were just wrapping up the Siamese Dream tour, which was 94 or something like that.
Okay.
So I couldn't go see any of those tours, but I did see the big arena Melancholy tour.
I think at the time it was
called US Air Arena.
Okay.
I don't think it exists anymore. It's Capital Center.
Okay.
Now, but I think if it still exists, I don't know. But then I think it was US Air Arena, I think it was called.
So it was a big arena show.
And it was the day before Jonathan Melvoin died.
So it was right before the New York trip.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it a good show?
Oh, it was great. It was fantastic.
Who opened?
Garbage.
Garbage opened.
Garbage opened, yeah.
Did you laugh and at the band and yell things at the band at the time?
At the time, no. I was totally ecstatic.
You're totally ecstatic. Hey, have you seen them since then?
So yes.
96, what was the second time you saw them?
I saw them in 2000 for that last arena tour.
Was that a good show?
No.
Okay. Do you remember anything besides it not being good?
I remember Billy Corgan coming out in this long black dress.
The chef's apron.
Yeah. And I was a senior in high school, I was getting ready to graduate. I remember being pretty close to graduation too, probably maybe May,
okay,
something like that. They hadn't announced that they were breaking up yet.
They had not.
So, but, you know, I was like, oh, like, I had, like, Jimmy's back. It's going to be badass. I didn't like Machina, and I had actually won Machina on 98 Rock. So I didn't pay for that album, which I thought was bad, except for Stand Inside Your Love, which is, to me, one of their best songs.
Okay.
But I remember, you know, them walking on stage, and James looked ridiculous. He looked like a transgendered Asian, you know,
so do you transgendered people look weird and Asian people look weird?
There's totally weird.
And you put those together,
I you know, the LGBTQ community is weird. So I remember it being they would walk out on stage. I think Jimmy started frosting his hair. He started dyeing it blonde.
So you remember more about the looks than the music of it.
Because the new album didn't interest me at all. I was kind of like, I don't know why I was really, I started thinking to myself, why am I here? So they played the first
couple. The punkers are good at doing that, making you question the existence of life.
So they started playing a couple of songs, and it was all from the new record. And I remember that new record at the time being really bloated. And okay. I don't mean in the sense of like, you know, where Melancholy had like 30,000. I just remember the songs being really long.
It's a very long album.
It's like 80 minutes or something.
It's very long.
And so finally they started getting to some of the earlier stuff. Mm-hmm. I think they busted out like just the singles from Siamese Dream. And then for some random ass reason, Jimmy or James played Blew Away, yeah, which was weird. But I thought it was cool. But I just remember not really being... Excuse me, I wasn't interested, I wasn't really pumped for it. I wasn't disappointed, I was kind of like, well, I'm past this.
Okay.
So when they had announced their breakup, I think it was that end of the summer, mm-hmm, or maybe the beginning of fall, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Like, if they were going to do a last show, I probably would have saw it. If they came around here, I probably would have saw it. Because mm-hmm, I felt that I was over it already, and I was like, well, that's a good way to end, because it kind of grew up with them.
Okay.
They're ending when I'm becoming an adult.
There you go, perfect.
They, you know, it's kind of embarrassing that last show, but I get it.
I
thought maybe they were embarrassed for that tour.
And that's why they were breaking
up. Yeah.
Okay.
So, they do that last show.
Yeah.
And then you kind of forget about them, and that's the end of that. And
then the Billy Corgan solo record.
Billy Corgan, was Zwan before?
Zwan was before that, I apologize. Did you see Zwan?
I did not, but I was interested in Zwan, not because of Billy Corgan so much, but because of...
Paz
and Matt Sweeney. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, hey, it's the dude from Chavez and Slint is in this. Why wouldn't it be awesome? And I like Smashing Pumpkins. And some of it was, looking back on that record, some of it's really, actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's not awful.
It's not awful. I think people at the time were expecting something way...
more indie?
Yeah, I don't even know if that. It was just kind of like... What would
way
you...
Way less Corgan?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
And it just... I think at the time when you have these high expectations for something like that, it just kind of like... It's really easy to kind of just pull things apart. And so...
That band did not last very long.
No, and I heard...
A year long.
I'd heard that the way they broke up was kind of the way the Pixies were broke up, which...
Through facts.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the Billy Corgan solo album came out, and I remember before I'd even heard a lick off of that record, I saw the cover, which was
the hand
in front of the face.
Yeah, you did.
And it just, I don't think I've heard more than maybe 75% of a song off
of really? So you didn't see that tour?
I didn't see that tour, although, I do remember before that, he had the poetry book.
Yes, he had the poetry book.
And that
Blinking with Fists.
That I had read. Actually, what's funny is, I think, you know, as you get older, your parents know less and less what you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like buying you terrible clothes that you're never going to wear.
I still get Sunny D every Christmas.
Yeah, it's like, well, I got the Billy Corgan poetry book from not only my parents, but like my other relatives thinking that like I was, you know. And it's kind of like one of those things where it's just like...
Do you still have it?
I think I ended up selling both copies.
Okay.
But I just remember some of the poetry in there was just like, this is what I would have... If I was writing poetry at like 13 or 14, that's what I would have wrote. And here's a like 30-year-old man like, you know, writing this stuff down. So the solo album comes out. I don't really care about it. I'm, you know... Whatever, the Smashing Pumpkins are still the Smashing Pumpkins. He can ruin himself, but that was kind of sacred.
Okay.
And then...
Then the Pumpkins come back.
Well...
Oh, no.
Before we do that, the day that his solo album comes out, do you remember, he
takes up the full paid edge
and
the
he says
Tribune,
he
we're
wants...
getting the band back together.
He's like, I want my band back.
Yeah.
I kind of take a long breath, and I'm kind of like, well, maybe if Jimmy and James and Darcy are involved, this maybe could work. Because I will say that I did like some of Machina too. There's okay. some songs yeah. off that were really good. So there, I think a year goes by, we don't hear anything.
Nothing.
And then suddenly, they're back. But the catch is, it's just him and Jimmy. You know, and then you're kind of like, oh, do I really want to be a part of this in any way? All right, I'll give it a chance. So you hear that first single, which was Tarantula, mm-hmm. I believe. And it wasn't the worst thing I had ever heard, but it was just kind of like...
Do you remember the album? Do you remember the cover for that single?
No.
It's Paris Hilton.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That is right, yeah. I just remember that video being way too...
Really bad.
Yeah, and so anyways, you hear that song, and you're like, that's whatever, maybe, I don't know, maybe. And then you hear the rest of that album, and you realize how terrible those songs are. And not because it's bad songwriting, they just go nowhere. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Machina, just... I think that was my problem, Machina. Those songs just went... Okay. They didn't go anywhere. So...
This is like 07 at this point?
07, and so the album was about to come out, then they announced these small
They played
shows.
Club shows, they played a bunch
they did
of
a residency. Yeah, they did a residency, I think they did a residency somewhere else.
San Francisco.
And then they decided to do a small club tour.
Yeah.
And you're still holding on to the hope that even if the album is terrible, they're going to bust out songs that, you know, like you'd wanted to hear for years. So... I remember I got tickets.
To what?
The 9:30 club show.
Okay.
And I remember getting there early. And there was a rumor going around that if you got there early, something was going to happen. And so I made sure to get there like 2 hours early because still the Smashing Pumpkins fan of me, I thought maybe something awesome. And then there was rumors that there was going to be an acoustic set outside of the club.
And by the way, at this point, you're an adult male.
I'm an adult male. I am at, what is this, 2007?
Yeah.
So, I'm 24.
Okay.
You know? But I wasn't embarrassed by it. I was like, well, maybe they'll do something cool like that. Maybe it is going to be worth, you know? And it was like maybe, I want to say July, so it wasn't like I was standing out in, like, terrible yeah. heat or terrible cold. It wasn't okay. like that. So I'm waiting, and then suddenly, there's... Two people come out, and they have radio, they have a headset on, and they go, okay, they had this big box of signs, and one box had these anti-Smashing Pumpkins slogans on it, the other was like regular, like, I love Smashing Pumpkins, they are yeah, the yeah. best band ever, and like, okay, the first 50 people in line, we need you to hold these signs, and then you guys are going to hold these signs. And so they handed it out to the first 50 people in line. I was like, no, I don't want to be involved in this. This is weird. But so I just kind of backed up and moved to the wall and pretended that I wasn't part of that 50.
Okay.
And so they handed out these signs, and they put the group of pro-pumpkins on one side and the group of anti-pumpkins on the other side in front of the 9:30 club.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, we want you to chant, like, love Smashing Pumpkins, hate Smashing Pumpkins, you know, like, just bullshit weirdness. And, like... Everybody was just like, okay, and so there was this, like, protest going on. Suddenly, you see, like, 2 minutes later, a limousine pull up, and out pops Billy Corgan, out pops Jimmy, and then the other two no-names that I have no idea who they were. And, you know, Billy Corgan kind of scans the crowd and, like, jokingly pulls one of the anti-Smashing Pumpkins signs from one girl and breaks it in half, and then they go into the club.
That was it?
And, yeah, and it was, like, it was filmed, and it's actually on that documentary, I forget what it's called, I saw it, but that's what it was. And this, by the way, this was the day the record came out.
Okay.
So, I was just kind of like, this is really weird and embarrassing. What? So, we walk into the club, and it's decked out in, like, almost like if you're getting, like, you know, like, if you're getting elected or something, it's, like, very... red, white, and blue everywhere. Balloons, red, mm-hmm. white, and blue. It's, you know, like if you went to an election party or something.
Okay.
That's what it kind of felt like. So
so that's why the record release show was in D.C.
Yeah. And so okay. it was just this weird vibe when you got in there. And then they started playing, and they played a couple
no opener?
Of new songs. No, there's this band Celebration that opened, who were from Baltimore. And then they ended up, they started playing a couple of new songs. I already knew, like, the album was terrible. So I, well, I wasn't giving them a pass, but I was like, this is already, I will ignore this.
Okay.
And just new song after new song. Then a couple of, you know, the Disarm sing, you know what I mean? It's just like your typical singles. And it just, it was like, that was it. And then what ended up happening was, they had played for maybe 2 hours. They came out and did an encore. And I like songs that are long, and I like a lot of avant experimental stuff, I guess. They played this song that was literally 30 minutes long.
Really?
It was called Grosshammer or something. And it was the most wanky, bullshit, fucking dumb song I had ever heard.
All right.
And I, so, the end of the, and while that song was going on, people were leaving in droves.
Really?
I mean, just massive, like, fuck this. This is stupid.
Did you stay till the end?
Yeah, I stayed till the end. Because I was like, maybe the last song will be, like, Through the Eyes of Ruby or something. Maybe that's the payoff.
And it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I think it was, you know, Bullet Butterfly Wings, the tribal version where they did, like, the drum beat,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so that show sucked.
This is 2000.
This is 2007. And
you
I,
paid to go to this show, by the way.
I paid to go to this show.
Jesus.
And so, I get an email from my friend, like, days before this show that just happened, like, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, man, my wife can't make it. Do you want to go to this show? And keep in mind, he had a choice between, for his birthday, I think it was either Smashing Pumpkins or the Foo Fighters show coming up.
11-11-11.
He chose the Smashing Pumpkins. So, I'm like, well, I didn't even make it. He's like, I'll just give it to you for free. And I was like, well, let me buy you some drinks. He's like, oh, that's fine. So,
you got a free ticket. You're going to the pumpkin show.
Free ticket, go to the pumpkin show. Nathan, who is sometimes a contributor.
Nathan's part of the show. Everyone knows Nathan.
He ended up, I convinced him to go.
Nathan. Also a giant Pumpkins fan. Also someone that like pledged to never pay money to see a show like this again.
But he kind of did.
He did.
He did. And he also went to that very last Smashing Pumpkins show, the one at the
Metro, yes.
So in any event, we are kind of waiting out in line. And I actually remember, and I didn't tell you this, I remember when we first got to the show at 9:30 2 weeks ago, we walked up to the box office, and I forgot that there were people around me, and I just go to my friend really kind of loudly, like, I can't believe we're doing this. This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And the people around me kind of, like, looked like I was a jerk, or that I was trying to, like, piss them off.
Well, you are a jerk, and you were pissing them off.
I know, I was just embarrassed for myself. It was kind of like seeing Poison, you know? It was like the equivalent of that.
No, Poison never claimed to be mystical, you know what I mean? Poison
I don't know,
way
I think
more...
I'd rather see Poison now. I would rather actually see Poison now than what...
You don't have to worry about Bret Michaels preaching to you about anything.
Billy Corgan didn't preach much of it.
Really?
He did have a Jesus shirt on.
There you go.
He did have a Jesus shirt on. So, in any event, we're waiting in line. And actually, this lady comes down and hands out these flyers in line. And it's like to get a free USB stick of the show after, you know, you can get like a recording of the show. So I'm sure you could download the show.
That's cool.
We didn't get it.
But
it
that's like, cool.
It's cool.
It's free too?
No, it was free.
Oh.
Of course it's not free.
You said it was a free USB stick.
It wasn't a free USB stick. It was like $25.
Oh, fuck that. That's
yeah,
insane.
No, it was just like, here is the flyer for it so you don't forget to go buy it.
Okay.
And I saw the set list from the nights before. Mm-hmm. So I was... Part of me, or most of me, I should say, was embarrassed. There was 5% of me that was excited because there were certain songs they were playing that I knew that I'd never hear again. Nathan comes in. He brings a big bag of Taco Bell. We sit there, and we stand there and eat Taco Bell while this lady behind us is, like, saying, like, how excited she is to see the Smashing Pumpkins for the first time.
How old is she?
She was, like, in her 40s, dude. It was really kind of sad. And then she started talking to us about how she saw Nirvana at AU years ago. And we were like, well, how come you never seen the Pumpkins? Oh, well, you know, I just never got around to it, you know. But anyways, I felt bad because we just kept insulting the Pumpkins while she kept telling her, like, friend, like, I'm so excited to see the Smashing Pumpkins. We go in there, this band named Light FM opens, and
who's played my benefit shows like 5 years ago.
To me, they sounded like My Chemical Romance meets Shoegaze. It was terrible.
They must have changed their style.
It was terrible. So they kept saying their name after every song, and the third time, I was just like, well, what's your name? And then after the fourth time, I was like, wait a minute, so your name is Last FM? And they looked completely defeated. And then the last song before they ended their set, they go, it's really great to be out here, blah, blah, blah. It's really amazing to be touring with the 2011 Smashing Pumpkins. And there's so many things wrong with that statement on so many levels. I don't, you know, that's a whole other show. But Nathan and I had to laugh. Well, there was a second band that opened up, and I hadn't told you about this. It's actually, they were called Fancy Space People.
Fancy Space People? Which, that's a fun name.
Which, this is interesting.
It's like a Mr. Show sketch.
Check this shit out. It is the drummer for the Germs.
Really?
Yep, the drummer for the Germs. And basically what it is if you took David Bowie and Sun Ra and threw them together in the shittiest blender, that's what you... They were dressed up as, like, fucking, like, Power Rangers.
At least it's
interesting.
There's,
like, 10 of them. And Nathan made the comment to me, he said, this is what David Bowie's asshole must look like.
So it wasn't good.
It wasn't very good.
On paper, there's a lot of potential.
On paper, it sounds awesome. It sounds like if you took, like, the Polyphonic Spree and mashed them with, like, you know, David Bowie's
asshole. I get it.
Yeah, so
Pumpkins finally take the stage.
Pumpkins finally take the stage. And, I couldn't really see most of them. I saw Billy's fat ass.
Billy got fat.
And the guy that kind of looks like James, Asian little brother.
He's playing guitar.
He's playing guitar.
And there's a woman bassist.
There's a woman bassist, and there's this scrawny kid now as the drummer. So they come out, and they start playing the song, and about 3 minutes into the song, Nathan kind of nudges me and goes, hey, man, this is just Homer redone. And it's kind of like... I kind of listened.
This is a new song.
This is a new song. And it sure enough, it is. Another new song, completely forgettable. And then he kind of goes into, I don't know what was the first song he played. I think he might have played one of the older songs. Might have the first one might have been like Geek USA.
Okay.
And that was kind of the litmus test for me. Because if any Pumpkins fan knows that that's a Jimmy song through and through. Just how the drums are just amazingly
And how are
awesome.
The drums in this version?
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
There's certain, like, little intricacies that Jimmy had that made, like, that song or any other Pumpkin song, like, good. Those don't exist.
What was the highlight of the evening?
The highlight of the evening, well, it
that's
depends on what we do.
That's not sad and ironic.
That's not sad and ironic. It was probably seeing Obscured and...
That was good.
For Martha. Just not in good in the sense, I don't know if they were performed extremely well, but, like, hey, like, you know, these are deep cuts. You know what I mean? That was kind of the
But were the they performed well?
To a point. I mean, like, if it was Billy Corgan solo by himself, I probably would have given it a better, like, I guess, rating.
Okay, but because he uses the name Smashing Pumpkins,
it felt weird.
Would you go again?
For free, sure. Because I'm not going to be too cool to say, you know what, I hold a sliver of hope that, like, what if they announce a tour where it's like, we're going to do Siamese Dream from start to finish?
What if it's the same four people, though?
And it's the same type of show? Probably not.
This is depressing. You need to say no.
It's not depressing.
If
it's
you
not...
were dating an abusive person from the time you were, like, 11 on, this is it.
Are we comparing the Smashing Pumpkins to an abusive...
This is an abusive relationship. This is all this is.
Yeah.
Remember when you didn't beat me? But yeah, you still wasn't that nice of a dude.
Yeah. No, I probably would go again though if it was free. My friend who emailed me about the tickets, I forgot that the Pumpkins were even coming.
Well, that's probably because Bush was in town the same night.
Were they?
Bush was in town the same night. Filter opened with Chevelle.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why these two aren't touring together.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, they played the Fillmore.
Have you been? Have you been?
I have not been to the new Fillmore. It's a Halloween. Any advice for the kids for Halloween? Any good costume ideas besides let an old bald man trick you into giving them money and money and money and money?
I did have the idea of going, and you don't know who this wrestler is. Well, you remember Razor Ramon.
I remember Razor Ramon.
We were talking about, there's a documentary on him on ESPN. And anyways, the documentary is about his downfall. And he looks terrible. He looks like he's completely just gone.
Yeah.
And so he basically was using a walker at one point, or a wheelchair.
And you have a walker.
I was going to go as Scott Hall, completely, like, beat down. You know, that was going to be my costume. It wouldn't take much. I already got like the part that makes it awesome, you know. So I guess for Halloween, I don't really have any other advice other than don't subject yourself to the Smashing Pumpkins.
You fucking sucker.
It's so abusive.
Here's a song about fear. And I wrote it when I lived in a studio apartment under the L tracks. And when I moved in, there was a phone that worked. And so I just started making calls on it. And a fellow knocked on my door a few months later. This is true. And presented me with a $300 phone bill. And you can laugh at that, Brandon, but this fellow followed me to work and followed me home from work and told me he had a man watching in the, you know, from the other end of the hall. And he used to live in my apartment, and would I pay him? So I did. And then he came back, and he asked for $100 for a contract that he'd had drawn up, saying that I owed him more money. And yeah. Be afraid of the man behind the door, or the three-legged dog. Be afraid of the mail when it arrives, or the victim who survives. Be afraid when you don't know what to do. Be afraid because I'm afraid of you. Be afraid. Invisible phone, be afraid when they leave you all alone. Be afraid of the newspaper, be afraid of the skyscraper. I won't be in your corner when the honeymoon's over. Be afraid of the warm reception. Great deception. grocery clerk. Oh, your ride to work. Oh, your mom and dad. Oh, a dream you had. Be afraid when you don't know what to do. Be afraid, because I'm afraid of you. Thanks. I like how these keys only just make a sort of click noise. It almost sounds like you're getting a text.
And that is the show. I want to thank Sean for sitting down with me and describing his horror experiences. I want to thank Daniel for playing that show a while back. That show, episode 107, is available for free in the stream. So just go to iTunes and click on that stuff. Episode 107, if you want a direct link, the direct link is in there. It features Thomas Conner, Sun-Times music critic, very, very funny man, Marty DeRosa, a comedian you should know, and obviously Daniel Knox. It's a very good show, so download that. We will be once again at the Wonderland Ballroom on Friday, November 4th. It's going to be a fantastic show, so come on out to that. For more information, go to youmethemeverybody.com. Have a happy Halloween, everybody. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful night.